The first theme Pastor Philip wants to share with you is titled A Black Dog and a White Dog.
In Billy Graham's book, The Holy Spirit, he tells the story of a man who has two dogs, a black dog and a white dog. The man is in need of money, so he takes the dogs into the town each week and let them fight one another, while people bet money on either one to win. On one occasion, he lets the black dog win. And on another occasion, he allows the white dog to win. Each time, the people would put their money on the dog who had won the previous week. Eventually, people stopped betting on his dogs because he was constantly winning and they were constantly losing. So he decided to move to another town and try his scheme elsewhere. As he was leaving, an old man, a beggar, came to him and said, "Seeing that you are leaving town, please tell me what your secret is, so I can make some money for myself." He said, "It's easy. When I want the black dog to win, I would just feed him and starve the white dog. And when I want the white dog to win, I would just feed him and starve the black dog." In 1 John 4 verse 4, the word says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You know what? You need to be like that man who owned the black dog and the white dog. And you need to be in control of those two natures that are jostling in you. When you become born again, they are jostling for supremacy. But you can choose to feed and nurture the Spirit of God in your soul. And you can remain in fellowship with other Christians and read your Bible and listen to the Word of God. And at the same time, you can choose not to forget to starve your fleshly nature from the excess of worldly influences in your life.
The next prayer is a prayer for coronavirus.
May God bless you with the following prayer as you continue to wrestle with Him. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name and authority of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this new day and for waking us up this morning, no matter what state of mind we found ourselves in. We are privileged to acknowledge you as our God. We proclaim your reign in our lives and our nation and all the earth. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we loose the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit to sustain, surround, and embrace us. We pray for wisdom of our policymakers, our leaders, and for safety of our frontline workers. Remove all fear, Lord, and replace it with the affirmation from your word. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us, the great physician, we bring before you those who are sick and afflicted with this virus. And we pray for healing for them, total and complete. Lord, we will not be afraid of the terrors by night or the arrows that fly by day, neither of this coronavirus that is threatening the resources of this world. Whatever the enemy plans for evil, turn it to good for your children. For God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. You are marvelous. You are wonderful. There is none like you, for you are our refuge and our fortress. In you we confidently trust and pray all these things, not in anybody's name, but you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Philip.
The next theme Pastor Philip wants to share with you is titled, Catch the Little Foxes.
In the spiritual sense, you should be aware that there are always little foxes waiting to destroy whatever God has given you. These foxes will take whatever they can get. They can only be described as demonic scavengers. They will go for your child, your car, your house, your job, or relationship, etc. And you need to do something about that. So here's what you need to do whenever God gives you anything. The first thing you need to do is to thank Him. Thank Him for what He has given you. Because such acknowledgement of Him gives you access to ask for His protection. The little foxes are symbolic of demons at work against your spiritual and physical well-being and your possessions. Failing to thank God for what you have will make you unable and impotent to stop or do anything against the little foxes affecting your life. Secondly, you need to be aware that the little foxes are agents of evil and can only be suppressed and removed from your vicinity by you praying that they do not use the main categories of evil to attack you, as is mentioned in Ephesians 6, verse 12. This says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So let me remind you, firstly, even though it's elementary, you need to thank God for what you have. Secondly, you need to be aware that the little foxes exercise their evil nature through the main categories of evil, which are A, principalities, B, powers, C, the rulers of darkness of this world, and D, spiritual wickedness in high places. And this brings us on to point number 3, the third and final point, which is to pray to have the little foxes removed from your life and your possessions by binding the main categories of evil, as previously mentioned, and forbidding the little foxes to use them as entrances to your life. Then loose the Holy Spirit to sustain, surround, and embrace your life in Jesus' name. Now here is an example of such a prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, and I bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, and forbid the little foxes from using these categories of evil as entrances to my life. And I loose the Holy Spirit to sustain, surround, and embrace my life in Jesus' name. The theme I would like to share with you right now is titled, Avoid Grieving the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit so that we can experience more of His anointings to empower our lives. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading to begin with is from Ephesians 4 verse 30, which states, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now the love of God is so enormous and unlimited that He gives you as a gift His Holy Spirit, and also at the same time warns you what you should not do with this gift. The Holy Spirit is a person and should be referred to as such. To refer to Him as a thing or it is blatant disrespect. He is often mentioned in the third person, namely Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this should not make Him any less a person to be thought of. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Here we see that He is called the Helper. In another translation, He is called the Comforter, which in Greek is translated Parakletos. Now, Parakletos means to be called to your side. In other words, He accompanies each believer in Christ. He accompanies you to be your legal advocate or counsel for defense, your intercessor, your helper, and your comforter. What an amazing person He is. In order to avoid grieving Him, we need to make every effort to give the Holy Spirit the credit He deserves. After creating the universe with God, He then was involved in the creation of mankind. In Genesis 1 verse 26, we read, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." To whom does "let us" refer to? "Let us" refers to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in everything concerning God and Jesus, and we often fail to give Him that recognition. Be careful, because that's what grieves Him. It's not the only thing that grieves Him, but being left out grieves Him. He also played a major role in the conception of Jesus Christ. And don't forget the role and function He played in saving you. In Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 14, we read, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." You can see from these verses that after hearing and believing the Word of God, there is a twofold function of the Holy Spirit, which takes place for you to obtain your salvation. Firstly, that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit to make you God's possession. And secondly, this sealing of the Holy Spirit is also a deposit guaranteeing that you will receive from God further anointings of His Spirit. These further anointings of the Holy Spirit help you and me to deal with and overcome the trials and tribulations of life. Another way of explaining it is like this. When you buy a car, you often need to put down a deposit of money before you can be in possession of that car. Your deposit seals the deal and at the same time obligates you to continue paying off the rest of the money by installments until the full price of the car is paid. In a similar way, when you become a possession of God, His seal and deposit of the Holy Spirit upon your life obligates Him to make further installments of anointings to you. Now, I want you to listen carefully. You can interrupt the obligatory process of God giving you the installments of His Holy Spirit anointings. You see, simply by failing to give the acknowledgement and recognition that the Holy Spirit deserves causes Him to become sad and withdraw His anointings from you. But He doesn't leave you completely because you still remain sealed with God. However, when the Holy Spirit is sad because you've neglected Him, He withdraws and withholds His anointing until you reconcile with Him. Now, you can grieve Him by leaving Him out of your prayers. For instance, you converse with the Father and with Jesus. I just leave the Holy Spirit out, not realizing He's actually the one who interprets what you really want to say to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the source of our praises to Almighty God. And He still remains the life-giving source to the birds and the fish in the seas and the animals and the grass and the trees. Psalm 104 verse 30 says, "You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." You know what? Maybe out of ignorance or a lack of teaching or knowledge, you have unwittingly caused the Holy Spirit to become sad by just leaving Him out. Or maybe you know someone who speaks in tongues and you just laugh at them or her and you just make fun of him or her. Don't do it because you're grieving the Holy Spirit in that person. How would you feel if you've been left out? Take, for instance, you've got two other people with you. And the other two, for most of the time, keep talking among themselves, keep laughing and joking among themselves, and leaving you out. Leaving you out of the conversation, leaving you out of everything. And in the end, you don't feel a part of them. You don't feel like sharing what you have with them. In a similar way, when or if, God forbid, that you should make the Holy Spirit sad, He will withdraw and withhold His anointings from you. If that happened, remember this. Those anointings are yours. And as soon as you are reconciled with Him, the Holy Spirit will anoint and empower you to overcome and complete the tasks which God still has for you to do. Avoid grieving the Holy Spirit is easier said than done. But should you feel the need to be reconciled with Him, join me in the following prayer. Almighty God, forgive me for making the Holy Spirit sad and causing Him to withhold His anointings from my life. Holy Spirit, I repent for my lack of respect and recognition of You. Forgive me and restore Your anointings to my life. And help me to see You more clearly, love You more dearly, and follow You more nearly. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. And thank You, Holy Spirit.